handlers went to the individual feeding houses, but otherwise they watched the park from the control room. And now, with visitors out there, he worried about 100 details. John Arnold was a systems engineer who had worked on the Polaris submarine missile in the late 1960s, until he had his first child and the prospect of making weapons became too distasteful. Meanwhile, Disney had started to create amusement park rides of great technological sophistication, and they employed a lot of aerospace people. Arnold helped build Disney World in Orlando, and had gone on to implement major parks at Magic Mountain in California, Old Country in Virginia, and Astroworld in Houston. His continuous employment at parks had eventually given him a somewhat skewed view of reality. Arnold contended, only half-jokingly, that the entire world was increasingly described by the metaphor of the theme park. "Paris is a theme park," he once announced after a vacation, "although it's too expensive, and the park employees are unpleasant and sullen." For the past 2 years, Arnold's job had been to get Jurassic Park up and running. As an engineer, he was accustomed to long time schedules. He often referred to the September opening, by which he meant September of the following year. And as the September opening approached, he was unhappy with the progress that had been made. He knew from experience that it sometimes took years to work the bugs out of a single park ride, let alone get a whole park running properly.
"You're just a worrier," Hammond said.
"I don't think so," Arnold said. "You've got to realize that from an engineering standpoint, Jurassic Park is by far the most ambitious theme park in history. Visitors will never think about it, but I do." He ticked the points off on his fingers. "First, Jurassic Park has all the problems of any amusement park. Ride maintenance, queue control, transportation, food handling, living accommodations, trash disposal, security. Second, we have all the problems of a major zoo. Care of the animals, health and welfare, feeding and cleanliness, protection from insects, pests, allergies, and illnesses, maintenance of barriers, and all the rest. And finally, we have the unprecedented problems of caring for a population of animals that no one has ever tried to maintain before."
"Oh, it's not as bad as all that," Hammond said.
"Yes, it is. You're just not here to see it," Arnold said. "The tyrannosaurs drink the lagoon water and sometimes get sick. We aren't sure why. The Triceratops females kill each other in fights for dominance and have to be separated into groups smaller than six. We don't know why. The stegosaurs frequently get blisters on their tongues and diarrhea for reasons no one yet understands, even though we've lost two. Hypsilophodonts get skin rashes. And the velociraptors..."
"Let's not start on the velociraptors," Hammond said. "I'm sick of hearing about the velociraptors, how they're the most vicious creatures anyone has ever seen."
"They are," Muldoon said in a low voice. "They should all be destroyed."
"You wanted to fit them with radio collars," Hammond said, "and I agreed."
"Yes, and they promptly chewed the collars off. But even if the raptors never get free," Arnold said, "I think we have to accept that Jurassic Park is inherently hazardous."
"Oh, balls," Hammond said. "Whose side are you on, anyway?"
"We now have 15 species of extinct animals, and most of them are dangerous," Arnold said. "We've been forced to delay the Jungle River ride because of the Dilophosaurs, and the Teratops Lodge in the Avery, because the pterodactyls are so unpredictable. These aren't engineering delays, Mr. Hammond. They're problems with control of the animals."
"You had plenty of engineering delays," Hammond said. "Don't blame it on the animals.